Judith. Welcome to the show. Today I have guest Judith Ritchie, and we're just going to dive right in.
Hi, Joni. Thank you so much for inviting me to join you.
Yeah, I'm so excited to dig into soul healing and what that means and how our listeners can benefit from that. And yeah, so we'll just go right into that to start off with there. I know you love working with people and that soul level, and you think that working from healing the soul level is very important. And so maybe you can just dive into what that even means to people so they can have an idea.
It's a really good question. A lot of people sometimes don't stop to consider that, you know, we bandy these terms around like mind, body, soul and heart, soul. And then we don't really stop and think about what the soul level is for us. It is a particular part of us, but we're not a human with a soul. We're a soul with a human experience, right? And what I have learned is that our soul is the eternal part of us, and it lasts for all of eternity. And I used to not believe in past lives or incarnations, reincarnations. And through the work that I've done, I've just seen way too many instances of that's the only explanation for why something is showing up in a person's life. And what really has come home to me is that we carry wounds forward from past lives, from past experiences that affect us in ways we aren't even aware. It affects us in our decision-making. It affects us in our relationships. We can even have phobias that are based on past life experiences. For instance, I have a client who has a unfounded fear of basements, and she could not figure out why. And when we started going in and doing some work, we found out that she was tortured and sexually assaulted in a past life and choked, and all of it happened in a basement. And so we have started clearing and healing that phobia of basements because of the past life experiences that her soul experienced. The other thing that I see that happens is that we're connected generationally and familiarly with our people that we have soul contracts with. And so we're operating on a different level than consciousness and even subconsciousness. And, you know, I have a three-step process I take my clients through. It's an awareness process, a breakthrough, and then the transformation. And the awareness process can happen lots of different places. You can do that in journaling. You can do that in meditation. You can have that awareness and working through different types of talk therapy, cognitive, behavioral, different types of therapies you can use. And then on the subconscious level, you can use hypnotherapy to get into that space. You can use meditation. There's different types of energy techniques that you can use to get into that subconscious space. Those are very important places for us to spend time and valid places for us to spend time in our healing process. And in my humble opinion, in the work that I've done, is not complete. It's when we get to that soul level and really affect that transformational healing at the soul level that we're able to break those patterns that we see keep coming up over and over again that we don't have a good explanation for. So that's why I'm passionate about doing work at the soul level.
Yeah, I think we do need to bring that, you know, front and center what that soul healing really looks like. I too agree that, you know, about coming into this life with baggage. And then we add on to that, you know, also as we grow, right? I never really thought about the subconscious piece, like, you know, a lot of our beliefs are solidified between that 6 and 9 year old. And then I was like, well, but I wonder, like, if you don't really have ready access to that all the time. But I'm wondering now, I was like, ooh, I wonder if we actually have some lenses that we come into the world with and that we start seeing it even, you know, before we solidify those beliefs. And that really is going to be something I ponder later because that's super intriguing to me now. And another question that came up, sorry, I'm going to ask a question, then you feel free to respond, is in your definition of soul, is that the same as spirit? Like your spirit and your soul are the same?
I would say yes. For me, they are. I differentiate between heart and soul, though. I think soul is that deep well of wisdom place that goes hand in hand with intuition, but even further. You know, you hear people say, I have a knowing about something, or you just, you know, that little niggling thing that just keeps showing up that won't go away. I really feel like those are messages from the soul that really speak to us. I want to backtrack and tie that to what you said just a minute ago about, you know, do we come in having things come with us? And, you know, when we're pre-verbal, we still process, but we process differently. We process with the feelings that we have in our body, correct? And so when we experience things pre-verbal, even in utero, we're experiencing those more on a soul level. And then when we reach that language space and something triggers and we have words to wrap around it, we go, oh, well, that's what it feels like to feel worthless, because we have that visceral body response. Or, oh, that's what it feels like to feel proud of myself. You know, it goes both ways. I focus in the what we term more negative emotion, traumatic spaces, but it goes both ways. So when we're pre-verbal, we're still processing at that soul level.
Yeah, I love that. As we bring in awareness, like a lot of times we can, you know, we have a broken leg, we go to the doctor, we get it fixed. Well, most of us at that point at least still go to the doctor, right? And, but how would a person know, you know, that they need this soul healing? Like, how would they come to that awareness piece that you were talking about? Or what are some, you know, repetitive things you see in people's lives that are showing up for them?
You know, I think the most obvious is that you hit a wall and you just don't have any place to go, right? And you're so unhappy in your life. And maybe you've, I say this jokingly, but I mean it sincerely, you've read the personal development books. I mean, they're great out there. They're great in that awareness space. I love Jen Sincero. I love Brene Brown. You know, Gabby Bernstein, Deepak, all of those places are great bases to go and get that awareness. Maybe you've been to some Tony Robbins conferences, or you've gone to a Mind Valley conference or something like that. And you're like, yes, there's something not working. But the piece that's missing is, okay, how do you go from this awareness place then into the next steps of breakthrough and transformation? And so when you see patterns keep showing up. And let me just give you some examples. I work with a gentleman who's the owner of a business, and he knows that he is not a good communicator with his employees. And so he came to me and he's like, I want to be a better leader. And so we've worked on his leadership skills. But what really happened was we found that that lack of leadership, his you're going to do it because I say so kind of answer to his clients, or the aggression that he had, I mean, to his customers, I'm sorry, employees, that kind of aggression that he had with his employees all came from some trauma that he experienced as a young boy with his father and his uncles making fun of him. And when we started unpacking that, he was just astounded at how that made such a difference in his leadership skills. I have a young woman I'm working with. She's in her 40s. She's single, divorced. And she has had a great, I want to say hate, but I'm not going to go that deep, a great loathing for men in authority. Okay. And she works for men. She hates it. And I am going to say hate there. She hates it when she's walking down the sidewalk and she gets catcalled and wolf whistled, you know, and all that kind of stuff. She's had relationships where she has a really hard time just being in relationship with men because she has such a loathing for male authority. And we have unpacked that and figured out what was the cause of that. You know, so it's when you're looking for those answers and they're not readily coming up for you, is a good time to call someone like me. And like I say, if you've done all the other things and the stuff still isn't working, it's your life is still not where you want to be, I'm the one you call because I help you get underneath why all that's showing up for you.
Yeah. So what I hear is when you're stuck in those loops, like you want to go for more, you want to do something different, you want your life to look different, but you notice that yourself is back in that every time you do a help book and it doesn't stick. You do another thing and it doesn't stick. And it's like, maybe this is at actually a different level that I haven't addressed yet. And then searching out to do some soul work.
You know what? I appreciate you saying that. I'm going to listen to this recording and I'm going to grab that because that was perfect for an elevator speech for me. So you just made it very succinct. But yes, that is exactly what it is.
Awesome. Yeah. And I would also just, you know, some other things I would probably put in there for people that we tend to look for as healers that might be different than some other people is we look at things like that busy procrastination, or we look at that you have all the boxes ticked to this perfect life you think you should live, but you're not satisfied. You have a sadness you can't explain. You have, you know, some different things like that might pop up for people too. Not being able to think clearly, right? Like that clarity piece of being in chaos and confusion a lot. I think that comes up for people a lot too. And a lot of that, I believe, is the alignment piece. You know, we're out of our soul alignment, but that's where we get to do that work and see why and how we can get back into alignment.
The thing that I see most with my clients, and I would venture to say that like 90% of my clients are female, and most of them, a high number of them, come to me and they have experienced some sort of sexual trauma. And it can be from playing doctor with a kid next door when you were six, all the way to being gang raped. And the lasting effects on so many levels that women aren't even aware are affecting them. It's awful to see. And I've seen it all, and I've seen the most heinous stuff. And there is healing from that. There is an ability at that soul level to find that healing. So you can have first a satisfying relationship with yourself. So you can give up that self-hatred, that self-loathing, all of the limiting beliefs and self-sabotage patterns that you adopt because of that trauma. And then you can start having relationships with your partners in your life and with your children. And that forgiveness piece is really important. So I deal in that world a whole lot with people, and I see them coming. And as soon as they start telling me what's going on in their life, there's some pretty big signals that point to this was probably a sexual trauma at some point. The other thing I do that we didn't even talk about, Joni, is I teach people how to muscle test, which is a technique that's been around for many, many years. It's a kinesthetic process to get those answers at the soul level. And there's different ways of muscle testing, and my clients use whichever works best for them. You can do a standing sway test. You can do it on your fingers. You can use a pendulum. That's one of the things that differentiates my work from strictly using your intuition or just BSing your way through that conscious talk, because the soul does not lie. And when we frame the questions in a certain way and ask the soul to provide the answers, we are able to get answers that the clients are sometimes surprised by because they didn't realize that that was going on for them.
Yeah, I love that. I love all, you know, and we mentioned some other techniques earlier too, but the ways that we can get in below the conscious level, that's where the healing is. And I believe for all, for the soul, for the emotions, for anything that's really affecting us, if we can get in below that conscious level and even sometimes below the subconscious level, which then I think that would be your soul work, right? And that's where it's always interesting to be in sessions and really learn to trust. I don't know about you, but growing into this work and when I started doing subconscious work and, you know, the heart and the soul and just what the body's holding on to, whether that's from this lifetime or a past lifetime, is trusting that process, because sometimes it'll be the strangest little story that someone comes up with that they're feeling. And then you're like, how does this relate? And then, you know, you unwind it. And by the time you get to the end, you're like, and blah, blah, blah. And this is exactly why you're here. Right. So that's really fun.
Exactly. The one thing I love about the work that I do is it's very systematic and it's very protocol driven. And I know there are a lot of very effective healers out there who strictly go with their intuition or with channeling. And I'm a certified practitioner in several different modalities. The main modality I use is called healing from the body level up. And it's a multi-pronged, multifaceted system that we use. And I'm, you know, certified in all levels of it, plus postgraduate work in it. So it's makes sense to the client, because we start doing very basic clearing, and then we, you know, unpack from there, and then we unpack from there. And one thing will lead to another, will lead to another, will lead to another. So it's very systematic. And we're not just pulling things out of the hat. You know, so when something comes up, we just immediately start going back into the protocols to explore and see what's going on there. And what do we use to heal that?
Yeah, that's awesome. And I bet that's really reassuring for people that have consecutive sessions with you, because they'll get to know the rhythm of a session. So I'm sure that helps them get out of their way as well. And I guess that'll lead me into the next question, really, is, yeah, what happens? What gets to open up for people if they get out of their way? But really, what happens if they get to heal from the soul level and they get to go through life that way versus carrying these wounds or baggage, so to speak?
Yeah, I think I'm going to use a word that's bandied around a lot, but the weight of it is so important. There's a peace that comes with that. There's a falling back in love with yourself that comes with that. I know that when there's a tangible explanation for why you've had things that keep showing up that you've been looking for, why does this keep happening to me? And you've felt victimized by the patterns in your life, to discover that, oh, this is something that came in from a past life. And I keep talking about past lives. That's not the majority of what I do. Or, okay, I can pinpoint this back to this particular event that happened when I was in second grade. And I didn't realize, for instance, I had someone who was traumatized in very young age. They moved. Her mom got a promotion. It was very exciting. And they moved from one house to another in the same city, changed schools, and she got a big girl room. And her mom decorated. It was beautiful. You know, she was in this lovely environment. And she had this raggedy old stuffed animal that was her favorite stuffed animal. And when she put it on her bed, her mom said, "No, it doesn't go with this beautiful big girl room. We're going to need to put that away." And it just really hurt her so much. She lost her best friend. And that coded as a loss trauma for her. Something as simple as putting a stuffed animal away created a loss trauma for her. And that set up a pattern of how that loss trauma played out the rest of her life. And for us to go back and be able to use muscle testing to find that that was the triggering event created so much peace in the fact that, okay, I'm not crazy. This stuff really has been happening. It has really been affecting me. I had no idea where it came from and why I've been showing up this way. And then to be able to do the healing around it, it's just a very, very good feeling for them.
Yeah, I'm going to touch a piece on the past life piece. Just we talked about that a lot at the beginning, and then we kind of skipped to some. We mentioned it in our speak, but I'll just bring that really clear to the listeners that we come in with some stuff, but then we gather as we go, right? So we have all of these experiences that gather more evidence into our soul, or they actually causes even, you know, small things that end up as trauma, and we don't register it as such as a kid. First of all, trauma is not in a kid's vocabulary. It's not something that registers that way. But also, it's often just such a minor thing from standpoint of many. But at that point in that person's life, it was epic, and it was something that triggered a piece within them, whether that's the lenses and the things that they, other experiences they've already had, or if that is something just new that triggers them to hold on to that experience as a trauma. So that might just clear that up for some people listening. And yeah, and just we got to have these conversations over and over and over with ourselves too, just to remind us as we go. Huh? And yeah, so I love the idea about peace, right? It's like really opening up that place of like ease and grace and flow in life. And with that, I think when we can work through these things, we get to really have anything we want. Right? Like we get to, first of all, acknowledge our desires, which when we're stuck in some of these responses, we don't even get to a place where we can acknowledge desires are available for us. I think that keeps a lot of people playing small, right, in their life, in whatever way that is. And then, so if we can remove those blocks, then it's abundance is available. And abundance isn't just money to me. Abundance is all of the things that you want, whether that's peace, whether that's more love, whether that's a fancy car, like all of those things are available if that is your desire and you're able to hold that. And that becomes much more available to people as they do this work, I think.
You know, we talk a lot about the word alignment. You know, we're going to align mind, body, soul, you know, mind, body, spirit. But when we're caught in these loops, as you call them, we call them repeating patterns. When we're caught in those, the alignment doesn't happen because like there's this internal friction all the time. We read things, well, you're deserving of this. Well, yes, I'm deserving of that. But then you've got all of those things that are back here chattering in your head that are telling you otherwise, why you're not deserving of them. So you wonder, why is it that, you know, I'm excelling in what I'm doing and the girl in the cubicle next to me works about 60% of the time, but she's the one who's chosen for the promotion and for the raise? Well, because you're vibrating at a different level. And so people are picking up on that vibration, you know, so it's a cascade of effects that happens when we do this work at the healing level that creates so many avenues for the abundance to flow in. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. And I think you hit it right on right there. It's the vibration. So as we do this healing, we get to change our vibration and we get to call in things at a different higher vibration that weren't previously available to us. They were available, but not in that vibration that we were in. Yeah. You've been giving us tons of really good examples on your clients, and I would love if you're willing to share anything that has came up for you in your life and any personal experiences that you've had personally where you've done some soul work and something's became available for you or something has been forgotten for you, right? I feel like a lot of times that's the key piece too, is like we get out of that pattern because we forgot that that was even part of who we were.
That's a really good way to put it. My story is pretty simple. I hit a wall in 2008 I was a financial advisor, and I got there because I had gone through a very horrible, unwanted divorce that resulted in a lot of nasty child custody stuff. And that ended with my ex-husband terminating his parental rights. And 4 years after that divorce, I remarried. And the gentleman I married never had raised kids, and I had 5 children. And so he came into this family that was had kind of, you know, circled the wagons around all this trauma that we had gone through. And it was not a good marriage for many years. And I looked up in 2008 and I realized I hated what I was doing. It was sucking my soul, my emotional well-being, my mental well-being, and my health just dry. Our marriage was in the tank. I was in the tank. It was awful. And in the meantime, I was launching kids off to college and, you know, life was running at a breakneck speed and I was just a wreck. And so I took a leave of absence as a financial advisor and I literally sat on the couch for about 6 months. And this was prior to personal development work being so popular and having easy access to healing. So I just did self-directed healing. And my youngest daughter was diagnosed with dyslexia and ADD, ADHD, and I was looking for holistic ways to help her. So I found this world of natural healing and holistic health. And in the meantime, my husband and I were desperately trying to keep our marriage together. And we did the traditional therapy things. We did the group therapy things. None of those were satisfying for me. And then I got introduced to different healing modalities. And it was a game changer for me. It just really gave me the avenue that I needed to connect with the pain that I was feeling. And, you know, I'd gone from mom and into supermom mode in my divorce, mother of 5 kids, including an infant, and then, you know, newly married a few years later. And I never had time to heal. And I didn't even know what that looked like. So for me, what the healing has done, and I've done a lot of healing at my soul level, is I've been able to have true forgiveness for my ex-husband and for what happened in our divorce. The biggest thing that happened for me was, beyond that, was taking 100% responsibility and giving him 100% responsibility for our divorce and seeing what role I played in that, because I was just as responsible for that marriage falling apart as he was because of how I went into the marriage. And the way I went into that marriage was, oh, let me just do what everybody else thinks I'm supposed to do in my life. It wasn't about people pleasing. It was about saying yes. My parents had a track where you graduated high school, you went to college, you got a teaching degree, you got a job teaching, you got married, and you had a kid. And so I had graduated high school, gone to college, gotten my teaching degree, graduated college, had my first job. What was next on the list? Get married, have kids. So he was the next checkbox, you know, so that was bad on me. So I did a lot of healing on the forgiveness side for me and a lot of healing on the forgiveness side for him. And then with the difficulties that my husband, by the way, we have a beautiful marriage now. We've been married 22 years. But, you know, we've had a lot of bumps in our marriage too. And being able to draw into that space of, well, what is showing up for me that I have an opportunity to heal that will contribute to us having a better marriage? Where do I stay in this place of understanding and compassion and empathy for what he's gone through in his life? And where do I stay in a constant place of forgiveness and choosing to have this good marriage? You know, that's the healing side for me. And it's worked. And the beautiful result is I have the honor and privilege of helping other people heal at that same soul level. And it is an absolute joy to do every day.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that story and your life, really. That's a lifespan of stuff. And that's amazing. And I say that a lot because I have trained myself to say that a lot. But I love that piece of...
Instead of but, yeah.
Yep, I love that piece. I truly believe the universe is, you know, it's an and both, not an either or. And when we can do that and take responsibility in that way, that we take 100% responsibility, but not taking someone else's power away, they also get to have 100% responsibility. Then everybody gets to be 100% their power, 100% their energy. And we're not trying to hold on to something for them that they can't then heal, right? Or hold something that's not ours. So then we can't heal either. So that's beautiful life lesson right there.
Thank you. I love the way Danielle Laporte played. She says, you know, when you have a tiff with a loved one or a friend or even a work colleague or something like that, You know, when you can come to them and say, I apologize for my part in this, whatever it was, you know, whatever you had, you know, you're owning it for yourself too. And then that gives them space to own it too. And we step out of that place of victimhood. We step out of that place of blame and shame. And we get to hold the mirror up and go, okay, what's the opportunity for me in this?
Yeah. And that's a special place to be too. And I would, you know, say that you may not get a I'm sorry back, but again, that's not the piece that matters, right? So, because you've already done the work.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. So a lot of times when people are beginning the process of healing, they're looking, you know, at those self-help books or ways that they can really bring in some practices on their own, you know, dip their toes in it at first. First, I'm going to go back and say, I wanted to say earlier about how we get to this soul level healing is usually we're forced, right? Like you said, hit the wall. And I was kind of in the same place with my healing journey. Like I had been at the wall and I tried all the other things, right? And I was doing pretty good. I was doing really well compared to my months on the couch, as I know, like you said too. But when I learned about Reiki, I say Reiki found me and the subconscious belief work found me, that opened up a whole nother piece of healing for me that really changed my life, right? It made the complete difference and made me a complete person. And so I did that a lot of just researching on my own, but also that stuff just started dropping in for me as I opened up that channel, more stuff could come in, right? And I think that happens for a lot of people, like, oh, now you'll do NLP. Now you're going to do motion code because those things just start to drop in. But what are some of the things that people, when they're dipping their toe in, that you recommend for people before they're ready to commit to the whole shebang?
That's a great question. Before I answer that, I want to tell you that the work that I do incorporates everything you just mentioned. We do work in NLP. We do work in energy medicine. We do work in energy psychology. I do use the motion code. I do meditation. I don't do Reiki, but I have a Reiki master that I go to myself. So, you know, I kind of do the whole shebang, but in my practice, I do use a lot of those modalities. One of the things I highly recommend people start doing is just do some meditation, you know, and it doesn't have to be 30 minutes of sitting cross-legged with your hands on your knees chanting Om. It really doesn't. Meditating can be as simple as taking a series of deep breaths in for 4 counts, holding it for 7 counts, and exhaling for 8 counts. And if you do that 3 or 4 times, guess what? You just meditated. And it's so important, you know, because, and we can do a whole nother podcast on the autonomic nervous system and our sympathetic response and our parasympathetic response and how our society has set us up to stay in that fight, flight, or freeze. But when we just give ourselves that little break, and we break the cycle that we're in and we just offer that little respite, that's a beautiful place to start healing. So meditation there. There's great meditation apps out there. I personally like Insight Timer. There's Calm. There's some other ones out there. You know, find your flavor that you like and just start experimenting with that. And then to tack on to meditation, I would say that journaling is a fantastic way to start dipping your toe into the healing process also. You know, a lot of people do wine and wine, W-H-I-N-E and W-I-N-E at the same time. And although that makes us feel better because we feel like somebody sharing our pain, you know, we're allowed to share our pain, it's not as productive as it would seem to be. But journaling is extremely productive. Because there's a thing that happens when it comes out of your head and it comes down your neck, through your shoulder, down your arm, through your fingers, into the pen, where you're physically removing that stuff that you've been carrying around and putting it on the page. It lives there now. So those are the two biggest ones that I would recommend to begin with.
Yeah, I love that. I think same. I think anytime, again, like you mentioned, we can talk for episodes on the other parts of the nervous system, which I have been and I will be doing. And meditation, I think you're right on, like spot on, people. It's such a good thing that's getting such a bad rap now because people think they have to be in this like perfection again. Like we have to do anything we do, we have to do it perfect, right, in this society. And it's like, it's really about calming your nervous system. That's what meditation is really for. And giving yourself permission just to be present in that moment really is really super important too. And turning on, I always say turning on that curiosity piece as well, but allowing just that breath to take you into that relaxed state And the other thing I often recommend when people are in meditation is they just let those thoughts come and go, right? Because everybody be like, my mind's so busy. And you're like, well, that's fine. Just be like, oh, thanks for coming in. And I'm going to deal with you later when we get done meditating, right? And this, and to start slow, like you said, don't start at half an hour, start at 1 minute, like, or 5 seconds, like anything, just to flip the switch, right? And then we can have access to a lot different kind of energy. Yeah. And also journaling. Yeah, it's perfect. It's moving the information out of our body. And also the piece about connection is important when we do the wine and wine. And that was funny. I've never heard it called that. But also if we always just leave it on that repeat, we're just re-exposing ourselves to the trauma or the experience over and over, which creates more of that victim mentality most of the time, unless you're, you know, it depends on who you're hanging with. But most of the time, that's what tends to happen. And you're just re-exposing and reigniting your nervous system instead of calming it and letting it out. And so that's the difference, I think, that happens between those two things. And we've also talked a little bit about how I practice, how you practice. And I guess I would just ask how having a healer or a person that's doing energy work or a person that's a coach, like how that can come in and help somebody that is in this state move a little faster, right?
That's it right there. That's exactly what it is. One of my clients said, she said, you know, I've done some other things and they were like being in a horse-drawn carriage, but working with you is like being on the bullet train. And, you know, when you're working with a practitioner who is trained in these different methodologies, and there's so many methodologies out there, and, you know, each one of them has their own bonuses, right? And their own pluses to them. Now, EMDR is a great methodology. Reiki is fantastic. Your hypnotherapy is important. The work I do is important. So each one of them has their own spaces, you know. So when you have made that decision, yes, I'm ready to do something different. I'm ready to take another step. I highly recommend you kind of interview the healer that you're thinking about working with and just ask him, you know, what are some success stories that you've had and how is this going to affect me personally? And give it a whirl. Don't do a one and done because that's not going to fit you. You know, make a commitment to yourself to stay with us a few months and start noticing the differences that are showing up in your life. Because depending on where you are is going to depend on what particular methodology is going to resonate with you more at that point in your life. And there's some things you may come to and then you go away from a while and then you come back to them again. You know, so I would just say be open. And when you learn muscle testing, which is something I teach everybody that I work with, muscle tests to see what you need at that point and then go for it and make that commitment to stay with it. One of the saddest things to me is when people come to me, they're desperate to feel different. They come and they get what I call the hit and they start feeling better and they're like, I don't need this anymore. And they go away and then a year or a year and a half, they come back to me and they're in that exact same spot again. Because they didn't complete the healing.
Yeah, that's such a great perspective on more than one session. I run into that a lot of times, you know. So I just, you know, I started offering free demo sessions just so people could jump in and kind of get an idea. Because it is like it's a totally different thing. But once you do it, you're not going to want to go back to something else, right? Like once you learn how to get into that space of that, you're still there and alert, but you're in a completely different, like it's almost hypnotic even when you're not under hypnosis kind of state, when you can actually get below the subconscious or even into the subconscious to do the work. And I often will tell people, you know, like you could do one session, but I don't really work that way anymore, because what I notice is people just get all their shit stirred up and then they feel shitty. And it's like, it takes a while to peel onion, you know, the layers of the onion sometimes, but also just for our body and our mind and our heart and our soul to all get on board with this way forward. And it really takes all of those pieces to get on board. And
one of the things that I tell my clients is that we become habituated to the state that we live in. And when we start healing, we are messing that state up. We are changing the habits. And so it takes a while for us to rehabituate to a new state of being. And I agree with you. You know, you can come, you can stir it all up. You think, oh, I really accomplished something. But man, it's like, you know, you open the floodgates. It's like, okay, let's just show you all of this stuff. Now you have an opportunity to deal with. So it's a commitment to yourself. It really is. And some people are scared to make that commitment because they don't want to see what's going on at those levels. And that's exactly why you should make that commitment and come in and do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this will be an interesting perspective too. I'm sure you see this. Once I do have clients make the commitment, they actually almost always start to see change before they even see me. Like it is just that act of committing to yourself and telling the universe, I'm ready to see this change. And things will already start to happen for them before they even come in. And I also wanted to bring that piece about, you said, once you change into a new state, what did you call it when you change?
Well, we stay habituated. So when we start rehabituating, we get into that new state of being. Yeah.
Yeah. So the part of that I wanted to bring in is the change, right? Because there is nothing that the subconscious loves more than change. And so if you don't commit, you're going to turn and run because your subconscious is like, nope, they're going in a place that's actually going to make you change. And so we're scared. We're going to run. We're going to hide somewhere else. So you have to go in knowing that.
That is such a good point. And that's such the reason why we use muscle testing instead of relying on the subconscious and the conscious, because they will BS their way through this work every single time, which is why using muscle testing, working at the soul level, is so different from doing other kinds of talk therapy, I'll just say. Unless you're a highly intuitive person who's really got it figured out, muscle testing is a very good answer to that.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And also, I want to make sure all the listeners did hear the piece about that, whether virtual or in person, you can learn muscle testing so that if you have virtual sessions, you can be doing the muscle testing on your own as you're going through the sessions. And so that's one really cool thing. It's not that Judith has to apply it to you. You could do a virtual session with Judith. She can teach you how to do it, and then you can be doing it while she's giving you the prompts.
That's 100% of how we do it. Yep. You got it.
Yeah. Awesome. I know that today you did have a quiz for helping people see where they are. I guess it would be in that awareness part of your program.
That's right. This is a quiz. There's 5 levels that I've identified that people are in. When I started personal development, I didn't know anything about anything. I just knew there was a lot of things that I needed to have working differently in my life. And I don't like using the words broken and fixed. I was never broken and I never needed to be fixed. I had wounds that were there to heal. Okay. So I highly object to people going, I'm broken and I need to be fixed. No, you're not. So this just gives you, you know, like, are you an explorer? Are you a learner? Are you an adventurer? You know, where are you in this stage of personal development? There's already things you're doing. I want you to be aware of those things that you're probably already doing. And then the results that you get will give you those, hey, you're probably already doing this, it looks like. And here's some things that you could consider adding into what you're doing at this stage in your life. And so I think it's fun because we kind of like to know what we are and where we are. And people love labels. And so I'm, you know, playing into that. I'm not a big, huge label person, but we're going to use that anyway. And you can kind of figure out where you are. And maybe you're a master. And so you can, you know, I'm a master at all of this. And even us masters at all of these things, we still have our opportunities too, right? You know, I have a standing monthly appointment with one of my healers, and I see some other healers on an as-needed basis. The difference for us and a lot of people who are just beginning is where their personal development experiences are here and here and here and here and here. They're closer together. The further we go in our personal development journey, the further apart our healing opportunities become, because we have done that healing. And then it's usually a pretty big thing, like we're fixing the level up into a next part of our being. We're taking our business up to another level. We're taking a relationship up to another level. And so that's when it shows up for us. But at first, you have lots of opportunities very close together.
Yeah. And I think if we're going to call it master, as we start to up level, it's not that we're mastering life, we're mastering the tools to help, really. Like, we do the healing and then we have the tools to then carry us through as we go. And that's where I think that's really important to have, you know, that unique perspective of a healer or a practitioner to walk with you, because they can see the tools that you need to keep, isn't really the word, but to practice, I guess. So as we do healing, then we have to go practice being that new person that you were talking about, right? And so if you have tools to help you stay in that space, that's really really good. And it sounds like your quiz, I did start to do it and I didn't get it finished. But, you know, it's one of those tools that brings awareness, which is really the first step in healing. And yeah, so I so loved having you on. I would say that you're, you know, one of those, we can say soul sisters, but it's like soul practitioners where we're working on that soul level and it's amazing. And again, you know, it just takes all different people for all other different people to find a way into this healing journey. And so always honored to have other people on that are doing this work, and especially someone that calls herself a force for transformation. I mean, amazing. How amazing is that? And if you are complete with this conversation, I am, and we'll say goodbye to our listeners. And if you had anything else to share, you could.
Fantastic conversation, Joni. I feel like you and I could sit and talk for a long time. But thank you so much for inviting me in, for your eloquence and making sense out of the things that I'm saying. So yeah, everybody kind of understands. I appreciate that. But it's a joy to come and talk about this type of work. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you so much. And to all of the listeners, we'll see you again next week. So amazing. You've reached the end of another episode of Creating Flow. And I want you to know I appreciate your presence. And to remind you, knowledge is powerful, but taking action is transformative. I invite you to take the next step to activate your full potential today by scheduling a complimentary 15-minute session with me. A no-obligation chat to identify the messages your body is sending you and how I can not only help you understand these messages, but teach you how to heal your body in order to have an abundance of health and energy in your life and business. Visit the link in the show notes to book a call, and I'll see you next week.